Well, I've had a great day, ladies and gentlemen. A great day. And I hope you have had a great day, too. And I hope that everything has been going well.
I remember got up, a good night's sleep, got up early and just look at the green grass and just hear the birds and just tell God thank you. And when you see his handiworks, I'll tell you what, it just don't get no better, does it? You know, David said that in Psalms 19 verse 1 too. But nevertheless, he was right then and it's right today. It just don't get no better, ladies and gentlemen. And we are here tonight, okay? And the whole purpose, the whole gist of being here tonight is to give God glory. We're going to venerate our God. We're going to extol our God. We're going to tell God how much we love him. And did you hear the prayer tonight? I did. Did you hear? Are you all in a covenant relationship with God? I'm Pete Covenant. Are you all in a great relationship with God? Do you all do you love God? Do you love God? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I'm going to beg you right now. I'm going to beg you. If you do not have God as your Savior, look at me, please look at me. Why not? What is it me? Am I keeping you from your God? Because I'll do whatever I can to save myself. Is it someone in here? Is it something that is either an issue or whatever? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here or you don't, I beg you. You see, I might not have tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. And I'm not saying this flippantly. I'm being candid with you. Listen, I'm not being loquacious, wordy, what I'm going to be talking about right now, okay? I'm asking you, if you're here tonight, why not? Look me in the eye. Because one day, you will not be looking me in the eye, but you're going to be looking at somebody else in the eye, and I'm going to talk about him. His name is Jesus the Christ. And he's going to say, why?
What? What? And it might be too late then. But I hope to God
that it won't be too late. And I hope that God will show you mercy the way that he showed me mercy. Because if you don't give it, you won't get it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are elated that you're here tonight. Thank you very, very much.
Very much. And with no further ado, now we'll get into the gospel of God. One thing as a minister or an elder or a deacon, or a Christian, is we got to be very careful with words, do we not? Oh my goodness. Because someone might misconstrue
what you have to say with your words. Or like me, you might say, his rhetoric is a little different.
You know? He sounds a little,
but folks, I'm a person who don't know how.
Been in Florida for a while, Tennessee, but I'm from Ohio. But the fact of the matter is,
it's never misconstrued
those holy pages. Never. So we want to
look at tonight the words we speak. Because is it his fault? Is it her fault? Is it their fault? It's surely not me. It's got to be you. I know the Bible.
Oh, wow. That's what I hear people say. I'm a steward. I'm a servant. I'm learning the Bible. And I have a long way to go. And every day of my life, when I look at that text, and every night when I read the book of Proverbs for the last 20 years, Dave, you still learn. It's just so good. And I'm here to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're here and if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, I hope tonight you'll come down. And any of these men would be happy to baptize you. I know, I'll go overboard. I'd love to baptize you. It won't be to my glory. It will be in his name for the remission of your sins. And it's vital. And I'm imploding inside. Incessantly, I want you to understand how vital that is. That's why the gospel meetings, that's why we have them. It's not about how great of a speaker you are or who you are.
Big name preacher, little name preacher. You probably even know where I'm from, okay? It's not about that.
But I got a name that is worthwhile. And he gave me some things to tell you. We would like to share those things with you tonight. So being verbose, yes, we can be verbose all we want, but that's not what we want to do, ladies and gentlemen. We want to find out the words we speak, and we appreciate it so much that you took time out. It'll be over before you know it, so please join in with me. And yes, little Olivia, oh my, we'll pray that little girl, that God will touch that family, that he'll touch that little girl. But I'll tell you one thing about that little Olivia. She's in God's hands. And thank you so much for praying on behalf of my wife and others. Steve, it means the whole lot. The only reason my wife is living with stage 4 breast cancer is because of prayers and the grace of God. Thank you so much. When we look at this, ladies and gentlemen, would you like to turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4 and verse 4? I'm going to turn back there, and let's jump right into this. Proverbs 4, verse 4 through 7. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. All right. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and get it with all thy getting. Get understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we need. We got to get it. We need this so vital. And when you look down at verse 24 now, of Proverbs 4, the Bible says, put away from thee a full word, or deceitful, your rendition might say, mouth, and perverse lips are put far from thee. But now look at Proverbs 5, verse 1 and 2. My son, now think about this. This is a father to his son, okay? Think about it. Remember before this, David, then Solomon, now Solomon, and then it's a message to my son, Jordan, he's with me. He's 14 years old, the youngest of four that I have. I'm a father to my son. This is what I tell my son. This is what I want him to know, because one day daddy won't be around. But what daddy wants my son and what my daughters, my precious daughters, to know more than anything else. You want to know what a Christian is, ladies and gentlemen? You really want to know? Look at their family. Look at the family of Christians today. We're losing them. We're losing them. Because Satan will not give up on those folks. But if they're living and you're living, never give up on them. But this is a son, a daddy to a boy. And this is what we're sharing tonight about these words, folks. And in Proverbs 5, verse 1 and 2, here he goes again. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Brethren, gossip is often regarded as a relatively harmless pastime today, because we're all involved. We're just all involved, particularly when compared to bigger wrongs like murder and adultery, isn't it? But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, we see some big bad sins there, do we not? And in fact, if you do these big bad sins, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So we got to be in guard. But where in the world does that tie in with gossip, with the words we speak? I mean, when you look at this and you hear these verses and you think about, if you'll turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you hear Paul talking to a church that was very befuddled, we need to be very cautious also in the first century. Because it says, as you know you not, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived. Okay, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. I mean, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Be careful saying that. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers. There, let's just stop there for a second, okay? That is speaking abusively. What kind of type of words really come from your mouth? When you speak, do you lead people to or from Jesus? When you're at the ball game, do you lead people to or from? When you're at the Cleveland, down at the ballpark, Do people see your life and what you're doing there? Oh, I've been on the big stages. You've been on big stages, haven't you? You've been down at the ballpark and whatnot. And you know what? Do you see what when your brothers and sisters, are you like, oh my, I'm so glad? Or are you ashamed of maybe what they're doing? Really, when we look at this, and in a list of all these big sins, here's this little word. As James says, what a little member. Oh, but the boasting he can do, for good or bad. Folks, Satan has painted idle talk as innocuous. In other words, unharmful. But if we peel away that deception, we discover the ugly truth. You need to be very careful. In the Bible, God lists gossip among one of the most depraved sins. That's pretty heinous. That's kind of insidious, ladies and gentlemen. This is not good. Not good. We got to facilitate things. We got to show people, yes, yes, no, no. But this is not good. Romans chapter 1. Would you turn there with me, please? And in Paul, listen to what he says here. We want to see it for what the Bible says, not Danny Allen. What does God say? Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What do you think is going on in the 21st century, by the way? Why do you think we're in the shape we're in today? In the good old United States of America. I'll tell you, right there it is. And we better start fighting back, ladies and gentlemen. Us men who preach the gospel better stand up. If we're in front of the bars or behind the bars, we better stand up. Where are we? Where's our courageousness? Oh, it's easy to say things. I'm talking about out there as well as in here. We better stand for the truth and not be ashamed of it. What are you saying, Paul? Talk to me, Paul. Fill me up. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to be a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Imagine that. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I mean, he just goes on. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. I mean, he just goes and he goes and he goes. But did you see that in verse 29? And in my rendition, it talks about whisperers. But when you take a closer glance and you get out that concordance, or that lexicon, and you look in there and you do a little bit of more depth, you get that magnifying glass out, and you do a little searching, it means gossip. The bottom line. You know, Paul was saying in Romans 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much applies as you live peaceably with all men, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good, in Romans 12, verse 21. What does that not cover? When we see this, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the words we speak. Let's look, Paul, talking to a young apprentice here, okay? Young man. Here he is. His name was Timothy. There's Paul, and Paul's taking him. And you know what? He's teaching him the gospel. And isn't that a wonderful picture? And that's what we are supposed to be doing. Yeah, this old man. Me, old man. I'm supposed to be taking younger people and teaching them the gospel. Not teaching them to gossip. Gospel, gossip, and some two other different concepts, okay? Not gossip, gospel, all right? But I've heard preachers and their gospel, gossip. So we need to be very careful, okay? I've been there. I don't need to point fingers, do I? I've been there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So when we look at this, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we hear these wonderful words. Let's start in verse 23. Are you there? Come on, follow me here. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. What are we trying to do? Cause trouble or permit trouble? You see, this is the verse we need to understand in verse 24. And the servant, that's you, that's me, of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience. Yeah, elders will tell you about that. Deacons, yeah. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of who? The devil. who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, it doesn't stop there. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, your rendition probably will say, dangerous times shall come. Do you think maybe we're in those days right now? I think we are, but nevertheless, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Oh boy, I see that all the time. Oh, I see these basketball greats, football greats, baseball greats. Oh my goodness, you talk about egotism. Oh my goodness. Nevertheless, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You see that today, anybody? I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about in the church. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Surely we don't have a battle with that today, do we? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What'd you say? He said turn away. Don't do it. Forget it. Leave it. Run, get, go. When you look at this, 2 Timothy 3:3, that false accuser is slanderous. Folks, nothing about gossip is harmless. Nothing. Nothing about gossip is harmless. I'll tell you right now. Whether the talk is intentionally cruel or simply some idle musing, the target of the comments can be embarrassed or hurt enormously. You can tear someone in two by saying some words that you ought not to say about them. And I've seen preachers, young preachers, start their tenure as preaching the gospel, and because of the way that they were taught by the brotherhood or sisterhood, they left that faith not to come back to Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, Alan, I'm going to state the fact. Okay? Now, if you want to talk to me personally afterwards, I'll give you those names. Because I've been praying that they will come back to Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, why do we sometimes think that? Why do people sometimes think that? Why does Danny Allen sometimes think that? I didn't warn you. Because Jesus never had that be intended in the fruits of the spirits. In fact, it was just the opposite. The antithesis of that. Someone was telling me how humble Bob Dickey is. I know Bob Dickey. I don't know him as well as you all. He's been at some meetings where I preached down in Florida. And you know what? They were telling me how humble. Well, you know, the antithesis of this gossip is that's what you need to be. We need to be humble, don't we? For he that humbleth himself shall be what? Luke 18, verse 14. Exalted. That's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. So, friends, words can choke. It can choke people alive. And that's why James is saying, James chapter 3, verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brethren, who's he talking to? My brethren, these things ought not so to what? Be. Talking to the church, talking to brethren. Sisters and brothers in Christ. Because Jesus was saying in Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. So we have to look. I got to look at myself and ask myself, how are you doing, Danny? In fact, I put it this way, folks. Be careful with your words. Once they are said, they can be only forgiven, not forgotten. And I want you to think about that long and hard. Oh, yes, they can be forgiven. But sometimes it's hard to let go. They're rehashed. Psychologically, people have, they just have a limit over it. They just groan and moan. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, they choke you. And that little smiley face up there, right there, that little smiley face, do you see the smiley face? I see the smiley face, okay? But anyway, that little smiley face, they're not smiling, you know. They're not. And I've been with brothers and sisters. And I know it personally because I have been affected myself. And I sit back and I scratch my head and think, okay, I can do it. Love, bless, do good, and pray. I can do it. Don't let them define who I am. Let Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus says, Danny Allen, I love you. I'm not talking about condoning sin. I'm talking about condoning gossip. So, we're almost done. Oh, watch me. Watch me here. The true story goes like this. Oh, I know the story so well. Verbatim. A friend decided to trace a damaging story about himself back to that original source. He asked one man after another, "Where did you hear this?" Say it again. "Where did you hear this?" 17 preachers later, he finally found the person who had originated the tale. This fellow admitted he had speculated aloud regarding a situation about which he knew little about. A destructive chain reaction began with just one man jumping to a false conclusion while chatting with a friend. But the ripples was unbelievable what it did to the young man at that time. Oh, God, help us. How can we stand in front of him or her, his child, and damn them to hell? I'm not saying we're condoning sin. We're trying to get them to be forgiven of their sin. Ladies and gentlemen, the words we speak, friends, even if the victim never learns of the chit-chat going on behind his or her back, gossip still has consequences, damaging consequences. The people who spread a tale reveal their inner speaking, their inner thinking. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart, Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 34. Jesus went on to say that the consequences is real. He put it this way, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof on that day of judgment." That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, I know if you ask God in the interim to forgive you, that forgive, please forgive me, God ain't going to hold that against you. It's the ones you don't ask it. It's the one that you break off with your God and you don't come back. It's the ones who don't even know their God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, it goes on, it goes on, it goes on, and we're all affected by it. Every one of us, we're just affected by it. And I tell you, we gotta get to the root of the problem. A poisonous tongue flows with the jealousy, resentment, or pride that resides in the heart of the person. And Jesus would say again in Matthew 15 and verse 11, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no, because whatsoever is born of this cometh of evil." There's a point he's trying to make, ladies and gentlemen. Brethren, gossip had the power to hurt feelings. It has the power to destroy reputations. It has the power to end friendships and divide churches. For goodness sake, it divides churches. And I've seen it do just that. And we sit back and we think, well, that's them. That will never happen to us. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12. It was for all of us, not just for some, okay? Nevertheless, we look and we see Proverbs 6 and verse 16 through 19, and we get that warning, do we not? In Proverbs 26, verse 23, 22, we get this warning, do we not? We do not have the right to bring such damage to anyone's life. We surely do not have that, and especially damaging the life of Christ. We don't have that. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister," get this, "grace to the hearer." Isn't that what Paul said in Ephesians 4 verse 29? What am I supposed to do, Danny? Ministering grace to the hearers. The Apostle Paul would put it, or Peter would say in 1 Peter 4 and 11, "Speak as the oracles," what's that? "The truths of God." We don't know about the truth, don't we? John 17, verse 17. Sanctified is in the truth. My words are truth. By the way, it's that truth that will set you free. John 8, verse 32. That's what we need to do, though. We got to be aware of the serpent. We got to be aware of that little serpent who subliminally, you know, just come in behind the scenes. And you know what? He's there. He's there. And he bites. And when he bites, sometimes it's poisonous. I've seen many of young people, and they cry. They cry, broken. They call Mr. Adam. And I have more counsel than you or anyone in this room has ever imagined. I give young people.
They come and they cry, cry. They say, the church is not supposed to be like this. And they're right. It's not. But if we don't have the Spirit of God in our lives, I'll tell you what. You might do and say things you just never knew you would. And I've been there. I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, God's the only one we should turn to when we hear a story about somebody, isn't it? Let God help you. Those facing trials, they need prayer, they need love. That's what they need, rather than tongues wagging over their struggles and their misfortunes. That's what they need. That's what he goes on to say, doesn't he? When you look at Ephesians 4, verse 31. I mean, when you go down and you look at this list here, ladies and gentlemen, and you think, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for his church forgave you. That's what we need. But what happens? Brethren, may our gossip be put away from us completely. By the way, I misconstrued a verse. This is in Matthew 5:37 where it says about your yay, yay. In Matthew 15 and verse 11, was it? Did I have that? Okay, that's where it talks about, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. Was that right, Steve? Thank you. Sometimes it happens, all right? It happens. And in James 1:19, James will say, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And there it is. But we change. We change. That's how we change. Paul says change. And I'm asking you tonight, maybe there's words. Maybe it's something, I don't know what your paradigm, I don't know what it is, but I know he does. And he said his son, he wants you back. He wants you so bad. When we look at this, ladies and gentlemen,
and when I look at these wonderful, wonderful stories, why can't we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust? Why can't we be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness? Why can't we do that? You see, we can do that, folks. We can do that. And I'm asking you, be careful, because the little bluebird's out there.
You come to me, you gossip about someone else, I'll say I have no interest. And I'll pray with you. Because, Dave, before I would go with that, I would chat the gossip of all people. That's what we do. I would ask God to forgive me. That's what we ask. We want to hear me help. Because he's the one. God bless you. Thank you for your patience, for the delay. Now I'll just ask you this. Trust and obey. Anybody need Jesus Christ tonight? I do. Anybody here, you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ? We'll baptize you in his name for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 verse 38, Mark 16 verse 16. We will do it because that's what God calls us to do, ladies and gentlemen. Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ, but maybe you're not living your life the way that you should? Maybe you said some words and you have hurt somebody? If it's privately, go take care of it. If it's publicly, take care of it. Because when you confess sins the right way, you'll be cleansed the right way. Trust and obey. Thank you. You got people. Please help me say this.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sends us. on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Okay, I know you got this kid. Okay, we'll mess you up, alright? If you're here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, what's this guy trying to do? I mean, is he trying to put you on the spot? I know. Ladies and gentlemen, our life is fleeting. I marry more people than I'd like to marry. They know what I'm talking about. I mean, you all know, these preachers, they know. It's sad there is someone you have loved in your life at all. Now, I won't be their judge. I understand that. I really do. And I pray for those people who have done that. And I pray, God, please have mercy, please. But I know when they die in the Lord, oh my goodness. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And isn't that what we're living here for? One day we get to go home and really be home. And it's a mansion. And it's a great mansion. And He said, I went to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that you can come also. In John 14, verse 1 through verse 4. Why not tonight? What is it? We'll help you. You have trust. You have to help me.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He does richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you for being here, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen, folks, friends, God loves you.